¿Cómo anda, Luis?
Bien de este lado, ¿y usted?
Bien, bien, con un poco de frío acá en Uruguay que se está viniendo el invierno.
Bueno, de este lado hace mucho frío. Yo creo que este ha sido uno de los años que más frío ha hecho aquí en República Dominicana.
¿Frío de qué temperatura estamos hablando?
No, no es tanto de la temperatura, sino que ha llovido bastante, ha sido días lluviosos.
Ah, no, aquí ha llovido poco, pero la temperatura está bajando bastante. Tuvimos un verano bastante lindo, pero bueno, ahora ya se siente el cambio de estación.
Déjame ver.
Luis, ¿cómo va el tema de ver para organizar el
Yo
evento?
estuve hablando, yo le tiré a Juliana hace como 2 semanas que yo quería cambiar el lugar. Y yo le estuve diciendo, ajá, ¿se escucha?
Sí, se
Sí,
escucha, sí.
yo le estuve diciendo a Juliana porque tú sabes que con usted y con Juliana es que yo más he hablado en estos speech. ¿Qué sucede? Yo le tiré en privado a ella. Pues yo lo veo, no lo estoy viendo los dos juntos en Space. Hay veces que la encuentro ahí en un Space y así sucesivamente. Yo le estuve diciendo a ella que como ella conocía a varias personas, aquí hay un lugar aquí en República Dominicana que le llaman el Barrio Chino. El Barrio Chino es un lugar donde es un lugar abierto, donde se expone muchas veces cuadros. No de NFT necesariamente, porque usted sabe que aquí en República Dominicana pues son pocas las personas que bregan o tienen conocimiento, pues yo estoy siempre a la vanguardia de eso. Yo le estuve diciendo que ya tenía, que si tenía personas, por lo menos personas chinos que podían apoyar, pues ese es un lugar muy privado. Y no sé, ella como que no sé si no me entendió lo que yo le quise decir, porque el lugar rentado pues que yo quiero es un poco costoso. Es un lugar llamado Sambil, donde caben aproximadamente 100 personas. Y como usted sabe que es un proceso, usted sabe más que yo de las actividades se toman mucho tiempo organizando. Hay personas que te dicen que sí van, hay otras que te dicen no, hay otra gente que te dicen al final que no. Y yo le estuve diciendo a ella que si ella conocía a personas para que me apoyaran de este lado, ella me estuvo diciendo como que no, como que las personas que ella conoce son personas que ella conoció por el space. Entonces lo que yo quiero hacer mayormente es, es decir, estoy haciendo una lista y no simplemente de hablar por Space, sino poder ver a la persona, hacer por lo menos una reunión vía Zoom. O no sé cómo usted lo ve. ¿Se escucha?
Perdón, perdón. No, de repente Juliana tiene muchos contactos, pero tal vez que las personas más con las que más tendrías que hablar sería con la gente de la comunidad de Latinoamérica de NFTs. Juliana conoce mucho, pero está en Europa ella, está en Londres, se maneja mucho con el mercado asiático. Y la verdad que no desconozco por completo qué contactos pueda tener con la gente de Latinoamérica, el mundo NFT. La verdad que no sabría
Aquí
decirte.
pues yo me comuniqué con unos compañeros, una joven de Puerto Rico. Ellos tienen un evento y me estuve comunicando con ella porque el evento de ella es mucho primero que el mío. Y para que me ayude porque no es nada fácil. Uno quiere hacerlo de todo corazón, esforzándose cada día más. Yo vivo trabajando 24/7. Y como le digo, el tema de hay veces, hay personas que se quedan simplemente en los space. Ah, te dicen, sí, vamos a hacer esto, vamos a hacer lo otro, no le dan ganas. Tú llevar una actividad de alto, no vamos a decirlo de alto calibre, sino vamos a decir una actividad sumamente sencilla, se van gastos. Y yo soy de las personas que cuando yo le pongo ganas a algo, pues lo logro. Esto para mí no ha sido nada fácil, estoy tocando puertas. Hay personas que te cierran las puertas, hay personas que no creen, o hay otros que sí creen. Y como usted sabrá, el mundo de los NFT es un mundo que va creciendo. Es un mundo que tiene mucho auge, va creciendo, va creciendo, va creciendo. Y también hay personas que apuestan a que no. Es decir, tenemos ahora mismo una ola que no cree, otros que creyeron y se han retirado, y otros nuevos. Y yo le estoy, como le digo, usted cuando usted tenga tiempo, pues usted quizás hable un poquito más con Juliana al respecto, porque se me ha hecho un poquito difícil. Hay veces que entro a los a él hace como una semana, hace como 3 días o 4 días, yo le envié un enlace. No sé si usted lo vio. Yo soy un space, sí.
Sí,
Yo hice un
sí.
espejo exactamente. Sí, dígame.
No, que lo recibí, pero estaba justamente con otros temas. ¿De qué trató el Space?
Exacto. Yo le envié una a usted, le envié una a Julián y a algunas personas. Y como le digo, cada vez que entro, lo veo en un space y se me hace como difícil muchas veces poderme contactar con usted. Usted tiene muchos seguidores. Y eso sería así de antemano, hallarlo como solo, porque sé que cada space de usted tiene un tema diferente y no, muchas veces no sería bueno tocar esos puntos. Yo soy siempre la persona que digo que si se está hablando de un tema, pues es de un tema. No sería lo prudente usted estar hablando de algo y yo saltarle con las cosas del evento. Entonces lo hice de esa manera, fue la primera vez pues que le envié ese enlace. Y sería ya para coordinar, sería para coordinar para cuando usted tenga tiempo, también Juliana y las demás personas, pues nos podamos conectar y enfatizar bien las cosas. Porque sé que este space tiene un objetivo y quizás no es hablar de la actividad, válgase la redundancia.
Sí, me parece perfecto lo que planteaste la primera vez que hablaste en el espacio, no me recuerdo en qué espacio fue, de conocer a las personas, de vernos en una conferencia por Zoom. Me parece que sí, eso es algo fundamental. Y nada, con tema de una disponibilidad para Zoom, no tengo disponibilidad de decir para si decidimos cualquier día, no sé, este fin de semana, de repente, no tengo ningún problema a la hora que sea, con Juliana, pero también me parece que tendrías, no sé si estás puesto en contacto con Ernesto Cisneros de Cuba.
No, 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 no. No, estuve en contacto con Añusca. No sé si usted conoce. Bueno, sí, yo creo que usted fue quien me presentó a Añusca, de Argentina. Creo que fue.
Perdón, no te escuché, ¿me puedes repetir?
Creo que usted me presentó a una joven llamada Añusca, de Argentina.
¿Me escucha?
¿Se escucha?
Ahora sí, ahora sí.
Creo que usted me presentó una persona llamada
Perdón,
Añusca de
con
Añusca.
quién de Argentina, perdón?
Añusca.
No lo ubico. ¿En qué es lo que hace?
Hace como 20 y pico de días. Yo le voy a enviar, con esa es la única que yo me he comunicado, que intercambiamos. Ella casi no se está conectando a los space, pero estamos en Telegram ya. Yo me hablé con ella un poquito, ya me estuvo diciendo de muchas ideas y quizá usted no se acuerda, pero le voy a mandar un captor privado para que se pueda dar cuenta Déjame ver si la tengo acá.
Sí, te cuento, Luis, te cuento, en Latinoamérica la comunidad más, la comunidad probablemente de mayor fuerza sea la cubana. En Cuba hay 600 artistas NFT. En toda Latinoamérica hay unos 2.000, 2.000 y pocos, 2.000 y pocas personas que están en el mundo NFT, que son bastante pocas. México es un lugar donde hay bastante, bastante gente después de Cuba, y después se distribuyen por toda Latinoamérica.
Se está cortando. Se está cortando ahí, Alberto.
Donde se la proporción sea mayor.
Se cortó un poco ahí. Se quedó
Sí.
en Latinoamérica.
¿Perdón?
Se cortó un poco la señal ahí. Se quedó en Latinoamérica. Cuando estaba hablando de Latinoamérica. ¿Se escucha?
Hello.
Maybe his phone rang. It's not said he's having connection issues. That's why I said maybe his phone rang. Oh, but he's gone to mute now. Oh, yes. These ca I'd love to compare captions. Okay. I'm just about to post mine. Oh, now it says that the host is
Host having connection issues and your screen grabs are going to be, you're going to be able to put them up in the Nest much quicker than I could. So please do.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm going to create just I'll create a I've got a number of them, but
Me too.
I'll put them together just only the last few minutes, but
So you're already well on your way and not going to be posting them like three lines at a time, like I would be.
yeah.
Hello, how are you? It's the guy,
Hello.
it's Luisa speaking.
Yes, but you just vanished.
Okay, well.
Did your phone ring?
Hello, Chase. Hello, Samantha. Hello. What happened with Amy?
I'm talking. Can you not hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you, but
Oh.
I only realized you were speaking because I had the closed captions and I could read what you were saying, but I could not hear you.
Oh, yes, I just tagged you in a closed caption of your conversation with Louis.
Oh, I was reading my crop caption and I made absolutely no sense at all.
No, well, most of your the translation from Spanish to English was still in Spanish.
No, at one point I read something that like Paraguay or something like that, and I was saying, what the hell is this translation saying?
Yes, I just wanted to sh show you. I wanted you to just have a. I just po I posted in the Nest. What do 50 browsers logged in with your Twitter creds equal?
Dodgy. Samantha, do you think that the fact that it's an Israeli company is related or just coincidence?
Oh, I don't know, but fucking hell, what find?
Well,
I don't know, coin. I'm being given the thumbs up, but I don't know. But the irony is that it's one, it's an unknown payment. Two, it's 2014. Three, it's there is this Israeli company. Four, it's for a mobile thing. Five, everything in that graph is breached as well. but six is the weird, well, it's not weird, but it, the, my screenshots from all that time ago also show some weird dates on them. So the conduit one was 1901. And then if you look above, the first pink highlighted entry was 1970, which I know is, but anyway, still, it's the, they're kind of weird.
Do you think it's random, or there's any significance to those dates?
Oh, all the things that I just spit out were significant, are significant in some way or another, some more than others, but they're, you know, all of those things, you know, I mean, I don't know, Coin, I don't know, but...
Sorry, I'm taking a look. I'm taking a look at the screenshot from Twitter with your active session and your other sessions. And where do you see the 50? Because I only see the...
Oh, right. In the other post, links to 35 collections.
Okay.
There's two pictures under that one. Turn these fucking things off. Hi, Divine. Sorry, I wasn't looking at my screen. Are you there? Hi, Aspen. How are you?
Hi, how are you guys? Did you guys get Twitter Circle today? I did.
Who?
Twitter what?
Twitter Circle. I'll put a tweet in the nest.
What's that? Twitter Circle?
I put a tweet in the nest.
Oh,
I see. If you can see this, you're in the circle.
Good morning.
Hi. Hang on a minute. I'm just trying to figure out what the hell Aspen is showing us here. So if I can see the circle, who can't see the circle then?
Well, I just stepped away and I just got back. What are we talking about?
Oh, I can't
Twitter
minute.
Circle. We're talking about Twitter Circle. New feature.
I saw that. That was awesome.
Oh, I want to share with you. Oh, okay. So, okay. Yeah, this is where you can pick your... I did read something about this, who you share with or have small... Instead of sharing with everybody on your timeline. Is that right?
Yes. You can only... Each user can only have 150 people in their circle. I posted the rest of the tweets in that thread. So maybe even if you're not in my circle, you can see those tweets in the nest, maybe. If not, I can post some public tweets.
So you have to create that link somewhere then?
No, you post the tweets normally. I'll show you.
Okay, hang on a minute. My dog's having a moment.
So what would be interesting to see, Aspen, is via the API, if the circle's coming back as a list or if that's a new attribute that's been added. I would imagine new.
Is this already available, Aspen?
Yes,
yeah, it's available. Jane Wong was posting about it. She discovered it and was posting about it on the web version of Twitter back in January of this year. But I haven't seen her post anything about it on the mobile. But the Twitter just went wide with it today. Like there's a tweet from Twitter Safety, kind of soft launching it, but it's not everybody has it right now. But I just posted another tweet in that thread.
You know, you just come in and pissed all over my fire, don't you, Aspen?
Well, this, I'm sorry. I did.
It's fine. I'm just winding you up, but just saying. Just putting it out there for everyone else.
Well, I hope that I didn't, you know, derail your whole conversation too badly.
Well, no, I did. I had their attention until you said about this. Now they're all looking at the Twitter thing. Much more interesting than my stuff.
Damn, I had their attention. I'm very captivated.
It's fine.
Hello, good people.
Hello.
I did call on you a moment ago, but you ignored me.
Yeah, I was on the phone at that time, and so I was ignoring everybody. So I've had a couple of things that I find kind of surreal, maybe. One, the title of this makes me think of that Bob Dylan song, I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more. Probably never heard that song.
But, no, never. But still, it was good for a laugh. Thank you.
Yeah. So anyhow, that's not surreal. What's surreal is I just saw on my Twitter feed, Elon Musk. And it's just so surreal. When I joined Twitter, it was sort of a proletariat thing, the people doing the people. And now we have these power brokers on Twitter, and they're just like, it was surreal when Trump was on here, surreal when Musk on here.
I completely understand, and I just got to get this out of my system right now, because he sounds like an older gentleman. I don't mean that by disrespect by any ways, but back in my day, in 2008, when Twitter started, it was an experiment with text messaging. No, just kidding.
Excuse our friend.
Yeah, I remember.
We're taking him back to the hospital gateway.
Just one second, please. Luis, I got your image on the DM. Would you mind if you, te parece si te, recibí tu mensaje en el en DM? ¿Te parece si seguimos hablando por DM, Luis?
Oh, I see. You're opening somebody else's DMs then.
The other thing I was just thinking about is, I don't know if anybody here is old enough to remember the Unabomber. The guy who lived in a cabin.
Yeah.
Sent letter bombs. Well, I recently made a joke about, faxing somebody a letter bomb. And they totally didn't understand. And they had no idea what a letter bomb was. It was a whole, like, wow. I don't remember. I didn't really expect to have to explain in this detail what faxing a letter bomb, and how it's even a joke. Of course, by the time I was done explaining, nobody was laughing. And then I was thinking, a friend of mine, he just took a class, and it was cheaper for him to buy a 3D printer and print up the parts than to buy them like off of Amazon or something like that. And, because the cost of buying a 3D printer has gotten come way down. And then I was thinking, wow, it may be possible to actually fax somebody a letter bomb soon. Everything seems surreal. Of course, the boundary between my dreams and reality, it seems to be getting thinner all the time the older I get.
That's because you learn more every day.
Ooh, that's a good... That's a good way to think about it. Because I was going to say that I kind of agree with him in some cases where, as I'm getting older, as time is passing is the way I was looking at it, that there are some surreal things that are coming that I am experiencing, I would imagine, I guess. That makes this a weird question.
You're more cautious, aren't you, about how you approach things, or because of experience?
Well, so, yeah, exactly, but I'm okay with that, right? So, like, I find like I'm okay unknowing, because the unknowing allows me to get familiar, And I don't care how long it takes me to get something familiar, because that is part of the journey, right? Like for example, I'll use like the flipper for example, right? So when I got it, I spent all day Sunday just like asking questions of like what, you know, what are, you know, first going through the menus and familiarizing myself with the landscape, and then starting to ask the questions of what can be done. And so, you know, like it is that, right? I mean, in everything, whether it's in your work, your hobby, your life, your politics, whatever it is, as you experience things, you become more familiar and more aware, and these things, you know, just Aspen, are you experiencing where you go out?
I got rugs. Audio goes... I got rugs.
Yep.
I did switch out of Twitter and then back, but I guess I wasn't quick enough. I think Twitter Spaces uses more RAM than maybe my iPhone SE has or something. I don't know what the hell happened, but
I've been experiencing the same thing. You know, I'm in a space, I'm not speaking, but I'm listening. So I'll continue to do other things. And then, you know, in other apps, and I feel like maybe the WebSocket's closing or something, or I don't know. It's weird, because then I'll come in back and I'll see emojis, which is through the WebSockets, but then no audio. So I don't know.
Look at my What Do 50 browsers logged in with your Twitter creds equal, Ben? Aspen and Chase.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, and what does this mean?
Well, it might be a bit surreal for you, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I've often said, okay, just so you know, I'm 65, retired, so I am an old dude. But I've often said, you know, if you don't believe in unicorns and pixies, you'll never see one. But the thing is I kind of feel like, you know, I just moved to the Pacific Northwest, and there's just these awesome, I mean, there's trees everywhere. You know, I came from Colorado, and I thought there were trees there, but man, there's trees here. Like,
there's trees here too.
And I often feel like, well, yeah, are you in Great Britain?
I am.
Yeah. So we're probably a similar latitude. But I, or maybe you're even not a little higher in latitude. But I often feel like, you know, the creatures of my childhood stories of, you know, naiads and dryads and other mythical creatures, you know, I kind of feel like maybe they're just, if they're right there in the trees, you know, just kind of peeking out at me. And so that's why I feel like maybe my dreams and my reality are getting closer together.
Well, I think we all feel a bit like that as far as Web3 and metaverse and technology, whether we engage with it or not, that's kind of how it plays out, isn't it?
That is something to contemplate. I find that the more I know, the less I know. I feel like the more I know about stuff, the more I'm willing to say, well, you know, your point of view is, well, when I was younger, you know, I mean, I had a lock on the truth. I knew what the truth was. Anymore, I'm not sure, so sure I have a lock on the truth. In fact, I'm pretty sure I don't.
I understand that. I understand what you're saying, definitely. But that's because now, whatever side of the argument you fall on, you can Google support for that point of view. So everything's just become blurred.
Yeah, I worry about that, you know, a little bit. You know, is this, am I going to end up in like an institution for those who have totally lost touch with reality?
No, because you haven't lost touch with reality. You're able to see the reality. There's many people that don't see the reality, and it's those people that I feel sorry for.
Yeah.
How do you know what you're seeing is reality?
Pardon?
How do you know that your perception of reality is correct and theirs isn't?
I'm not saying that theirs... I didn't say that their reality isn't correct. I said they don't understand what they're looking at. They don't see the same reality because they don't have an understanding for technology, for Web3, for all the things that... that the people in this room do have, even if it's only a basic understanding, they are aware of those things and they have an idea of how they work and what that means. Some to a more, you know, or a bigger depth than others. But the people that don't have that reality, they just don't get the whole technological age, do they?
Right, but if they're not aware of it, you know, are we better off because we know about it? Or I guess that's what I'm asking. Like, is it
that's the million dollar question?
Well, so I was gonna say that reality I can't speak to reality, right? But what I'm gonna say is, like, so in my opinion, I see reality as a perception of your understanding to the environment around you, and whether that's online or offline, it's how you understand things and perceive things. You can not know that, you know, there's these bad things on the internet, and you can go through your experience and know nothing other, right? I mean, like, that's just, and you may get scammed, you may not, I don't know, these are all like probabilities, but that is I lost my train of thought. I'll be back.
Well, I didn't know a lot about any of this stuff until I was affected by it, right? So maybe it's the ones who are not being affected by it. I mean, some people are just going to not care, right? Or not going to be into the same things, right? But I don't know. If I wasn't affected by it, would I have ever learned any of it? What's
that? The difference. If they don't notice, that's all. It's not it's really not a controversial issue. They're just unaware because they don't notice. It's that simple. Because they don't really have an understanding. They just plug something in and it works, and that's as far as they go.
I just saw this sign. You know, it was a picture of a guy carrying a sign. And it was like, in the big print, it said, hell is real, there's lake of fire is real, and if you're any of these things, and there was a list of about maybe 30 different things, labels, and I started, you know, writing down, okay, yeah, I am this, you know, and I'm not going to say, because I really hate labels, because they're like just somebody putting, but you know, every one of those labels listed, it was a group of people. And so I started going through them, you know, what things I am, things I've done, you know, people I would interact with. And then I finally had to say, oh, hell, I'm a fan of them all. And it's sort of like, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Serenity, where, you know, the guy's asking Mal, the captain of the Firefly, you know, what's your sin? And he said, I'm a big fan of them all, you know. you know, because, you know, there is a line, you know, people... one of the lines was Jehovah Witness. Now, I grew up with Jehovah Witnesses, and I have experienced, you know, what it is to be friends with somebody, and then when they become an adult, you know, then you're like not their friend suddenly. And that kind of hurt me. But there were still people, you know. And no matter what they believe, you know, I mean, if they're, you know, whatever religion they are, they're still people. And I'm still, you know, if I get a chance, I'm probably going to hug them. And for this, I can go to hell. Well, send me to hell.
I will say, though, on a security side, you know, filling out those types of questionnaires that I've been confronted with, where they ask you these personal questions and it's to a web form. I'm not a big fan of that. And I've always shared that with people I speak with. It's just a form of collection of information, data points. And so I don't like, you know, I accept the risks of going on to social media, for example, like Twitter and speaking in spaces, but like I accept those risks and I share what I want, when I want, with who I want, what I want, even though it's being recorded, but you know, I accept it. So with web forms, I don't like it.
What are you talking about? Like when you're making an account, or are you just talking about some kind of...
No. So you've never gotten those games, those puzzles, like where it's like, oh, well, favorite color, favorite this. And they ask you all these questions and then they'll give you like some kind of like infographic at the end to say where you are on some kind of line or, you know, a character or whatever.
Yeah, I guess I've done like tests and stuff like that. None that I would have to like put an email address in or you know, something that, like, if you're just taking plain metrics and there's no personal data involved, I'm fine with that. But yeah, if they're asking for an email address or a birthday or like a zodiac sign, I don't know, anything personal, I don't like that. Or I would just answer it incorrectly. Like, you know, Twitter asks you what your birthday is, and on your profile, it'll say, you know, that's not my birthday. It's just a date I picked. You know, why put in my actual birthday? Like, that would, I mean, lots of people were born on my birthday, right? Like millions of people, but that narrows it down, like one in 365, right? So why do that? Unless you really want to advertise what your birthday is? I guess you can. I mean, that's up to you, but it seems weird to, like, it would seem weird to put personal information out like that to me.
All my friends.
No, 100% obfuscation is all definitely...
Everybody does it on Facebook. You know, that's...
No,
you know,
and that's exactly the what I was thinking about. To Tanya's point, so the one particular one that I was thinking about was on Facebook. I still have my account there. I don't have it installed in any minor things. I barely use it anymore. I don't log in anymore. I still keep it though, because it's there, whatever. It's whatever. Long story. It's curated. But I've been approached with those. And then here's the thing though, right? So like the deeper you get though, you can get a little darker with that. For example, if it's on a fan page that's asking you that you previously liked, then they already know that information beforehand on you, and they know it's you filling it out. They don't need to ask you that. Obviously, if it's a sponsored ad type web form, whatever, like, you know, through their whatever that's called, their wall.
Well, you know, all my girlfriends do it. If they like, what if I put your name and your middle name, that'd be your name as a stripper. Remember that one? I think every woman on Facebook was doing it. I think it was freaking funny. I don't know if they realized what they were doing or not. But, or how about the birthdays, you know, what day they were born on. I mean, like, why would you even tell people what day you're born on? Even though you already told them. But, you know, like, people are just volunteer all this information. And then they're like, oh. How can someone hack me? Really?
Are those things, those Facebook? Because I just made a Facebook account like 2 months ago because I bought a Quest and I had to, but like I don't ever use it. But are those things? Are they just for getting metrics? Like, or is it just a fun thing that people do and it has no nefarious, you know, advertising nonsense connected to it? Or are they really trying to, like, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was going to pose another question. I mean, what other purpose other than, like, okay, I'm going to have engagement, but do you think it's actually having new engagement? Like, do you think it's, are people, if it's from a fan page, you think that it's landing them newer fans? So I think that it's just that. It's data points for them to get feedback on particular things. Remember, those questions are curated, right? So, like, they're probing I forget what it's called, but in BI, it's like when you do the grouping. So whatever, I think any form has some science behind it, even if it's the default, right? It is the default questions.
Sure. But what I'm asking, I guess, is are they meant to gather this information? Is that what they're designed to do? Or is it just for fun? Cause like I put out things just for fun, you know, because I think it's fun and I have no ulterior motive. I'm not trying to gather data or, you know, see metrics of any kind. I'm just putting it out there and people do that all the time. But is that what this is? Or is it like a mixed bag? Is some of it, you know, meant to be data collection and is hidden as, you know, this fun birthday porn star name game or whatever? Or is it all?
I get it. I mean, so I put things out and on different platforms. I mean, I've done it on Facebook a bunch of times, and it was to see the data. I mean, don't you get excited as part of you building the thing to see the user interactions, however it is, and whatever it is that, you know, you're able to track, whatever events, whatever, you know. So yeah. Now, if the if you're looking at the question as, is this really being used to further some marketing or to create groups to make a business decision on what products to sell during what seasons, for what sex, at what age group? Yeah, I do think that. I do think that when you really look at who it is that is the one that's putting out the form. Now, when it's other developers, yeah, but then that comes down to you trusting that developer, or like, you know, like, there are certain people that I look to for information if I see something, certain things. I mean, you know, I've seen surveys on Twitter and whatnot, and I will answer them, and you know.
Well, for what it's worth, my stripper name is Commando Gouda.
I literally know everything about you now. I can backtrace your social security number. We should not have said anything. Joking. Kapla, by the way.
No, I was going to say, I just pulled this movie.
I got to go get some dinner, but if anybody's interested, I'm selling my last Flipper Zero. It's a black one. So send me a DM. DMs are open. I sold one to Aldo and Chassis. All right, I'm out of here. I'll be back later, though, if you guys are still here. Alberto.
Have a good one. Chassis, what do you use the Flipper for?
I saw the picture. Filming my garage door. I play with the TV remotes and NFC copying and replay. That's what I've done so far. And now I'm going to start playing with it a little bit more with my Portapak HackRF.
Can you explain what it is exactly? Because I'm unclear on that.
It's a vibrator. So, it's a vibrator that scans radio frequencies.
Does it vibrate, though?
No.
No.
Nah, not. It just scans radio frequencies.
Plays tones, though. You can make, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, I can scan the local radio frequencies around me just with my handheld radio. I mean, is it any different than that?
It's record and replay.
Yeah, 100%. Like, what I love about it is that it's a great teaching tool. Like, my, you know, I got it. I showed it to my son. And, you know, it's got the pinholes on the side. And they're all labeled. Makes it super easy you know, with like a breadboard to, you know, like continue the exploration. And then understand that the, you know, there's IR, there's NFC, RFID, you know, 2.4. And that would be a really cool superpower to see radio waves. I mean, you'd probably, but I want to be able to turn it on and off and distinguish which ones are which.
It doesn't turn on or off?
My special power, yes, it does.
Oh, superpower. Okay.
If you could see radio waves, do you think you'd be able to see anything else? Like, there's so many.
That's why there's an on and off.
Okay. I think it would be visual overload. Yeah.
But that's a god mode. That's fucking god mode, bro.
I don't know. That is the monkey paw thing where, like, I want to see radio waves. And then, like, you turn that on and it's, you just literally are inundated with all the different, you know, wavelengths of you
yeah,
know.
But no. It's just like, you know, a lot of LSD or something, you know, I don't know. But, you know, but being able to distinguish each one, that's the thing, right? That's what I like.
Yeah, you're looking to be able to properly perceive different waves, not just look at them and get the visual data. You want to be able to actually perceive them and have them in consciousness.
100%. Thank you, Technique.
What is the accuracy on this? I'm sorry, what is the device actually called? Is it called a flipper or a dolphin? Or what is it? What's the actual name?
It's a flipper. Flipper zero.
So it's a flipper, but it's not a flip device, right? It doesn't actually do that like matrix thing where it opens up.
No. So it's like a Tamagotchi. And so the character inside is, if you ever played with Pongachi, it's that same kind of concept, right? Where you have this avatar inside, and so it's a dolphin, and the dolphin has these different techniques, which is sonar, and, you know, yeah.
Metaverse avatar onto the digital paper interface of the
Let's build it. Yes, let's build it.
Okay, as for the Tamagotchi part, because I've heard this a few times that there's a Tamagotchi, like, and I've seen, like, the... Yes, I know I'm not wearing a seatbelt. Sorry, I'm talking to my car. Does it actually behave as a Tamagotchi? Like, can I torture it?
So I haven't experienced it. I think Aspen can speak on this a little bit more, but like my Pongachi, obviously you want to keep feeding it unless it, you know, then it'll get angry and then it'll just give you the bad emojis all the time. I've only gotten one, and I usually, when I'm going to use it, I turn it on when I, so I don't know. That's a good question. Aspen?
I haven't even turned mine on.
What? So, all right. So then, yeah, I don't
clap,
know.
Clap.
Well, I was trying to sell them, so I didn't even bother.
No. So the obvious question is, did you modify them with tracking devices so that you could have more little birds?
No, I didn't. I didn't track anything.
Well, then how can I trust you? As
say there's a postal service.
Hold on. Now I'm asking myself. Like,
how much are you selling your last one for there?
So yeah, I really like mine. I'm now going to start. I have an old pager, and I kind of want to take a try at the, what is it called? That's POCSAJ, I think. POC, it's where you send the messages for pages. I forget what the technology is called. It's not off the top of my head. But yeah, like,
God, I actually think I'd like to.
That would be cool if you could create like little pocket broadcasts direct to pagers that didn't go through the network.
You have one more for sale, right? No?
Yes, he does. I think he mentioned earlier to direct message.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right, guys, I'll be back on here maybe half an hour or so.
Anybody who does have one so far, hold on a second. I should actually look at the
screen. So I found out Nick has one. Delta has one. Yeah. Delta was actually trying out the...
Who? The people who do have one, like, what are you using them for on a day-to-day basis? Cause I'm taken enough with it that I'll probably buy the last one, but I don't know exactly how people are using them. I'd love to hear anything about that.
So I have my Pongachi at the ready. It only requires a external battery source. I usually carry it on me when I travel. And I've now added this device to that little pouch. And I received it on Friday, unboxed it Sunday. And like I said, I only got to play with IR, NFC. And now I'm going to go into my garage door opener.
Okay, so here's my idea. Tell me if this would work. I want to configure one specifically for ghost hunting. Can I do that? I'm not making only a joke. I seriously want to do this.
Well, I'm not familiar with ghost hunting. I think it has to do with frequencies or something, right?
It has to do with whatever you like, any nonsense that you can quantify and then say, ooh, like this electromagnetic or but I really want
to. Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't use that sole tool, right? Maybe that can.
Yeah, but it's funny.
Yeah, this is more of a record and replay. And I think you would use other tools to hunt down signals like that.
So on the battery and also how it goes about connecting, there's a couple of deal breakers. Is Bluetooth involved at all?
No. So by default, when I powered it, none of the other than the prongs in the bottom, Bluetooth was off, NFC was off, and
I'm sorry. Off? Or not possible. If Bluetooth is possible, I think I'd have to reconsider.
Well, Bluetooth is possible. That is one of the frequencies that it's listening into so that you can do, for example, Bluetooth replays of sorts.
Okay, it's there, but it's there for the purpose of... it has to be there to scan Bluetooth is the idea. It's not depending on that for no other reason from connecting to other things.
Well, no, then there's also an Android and iOS application where you can get the interface, if you wanted to Bluetooth, to the device to do quick actions on it. For example, it is also a rubber ducky. So let's say if you had a list of payloads on your device because it has a file store and you went to look for a payload, it'd be a little bit cumbersome probably to going through the little D-pad. Having a Bluetooth to your phone and then, launching the app and having it queue, huh?
Sounds fucking dangerous if you ask me.
Oh, it can definitely be dangerous.
Yes. Thank you, Sam.
But so is a rubber ducky. So is a USB Nano.
The potential for pneumonia in the device is what I'm trying to get around. Like there's an app for my phone. Like, can I use it without doing this? That's my question.
Yeah, you can totally use it without the phone. You can have Bluetooth off completely. Run your, RF on it, your SDR, and you're definitely, it's off. It's off. It's essentially...
It's for serious players, though, isn't it? It's not for people that don't really know what they're doing. Like,
no, it's an educational tool. I'm going to use it that way with, the people around me. I think it makes it so clean and easy to pin things, explain things. There's a nice little cute UI that you can get into your memory really quick, just like an old 8-bit game. And so you can teach so larger concepts.
It's like the game Rogue, except it insists on trying as hard as it can to trick you into connecting it to your devices and giving it privileges to scan you in ways that it wouldn't discern to you, like that it wouldn't disclose.
100%.
Understood.
But my point was that if you don't know how to mitigate all that stuff from a threat actor because of the features that it has, or you don't understand what you're looking at, you've got no hope.
Well, I would say you just get two and then use one to see what the other one's doing. Bam, problem solved.
Oh,
no.
Problem solved.
You're going to pay twice as much.
Pay twice as much for two of them to because you need one to troubleshoot the other.
No.
Why don't I just buy
it? No reporting on the whole, if that's what you're asking.
You're worried about
what
this device, which I get.
Like, the potential for this to be a device that looks like it's for hackers and is in fact for one hacker somewhere at the top of the pyramid, the potential for that is something you'd really not be a very good hacker if you didn't see it as that first and foremost and ask every question possible before purchasing it and buying into the culture and all the means associated. Well,
okay,
with
that's a very good point, Zoe. That's a very good point. Because what I was going to say, I thought you were going a different direction. I was going to say there's a lot of these chipsets that you can buy that are either USB, Bluetooth, whatever, Raspberry Pi Zero for that matter, which I think this is what it's based on, or if it's not, that's what the underboard is.
I got called an idiot for asking if it was based off of Raspberry Pi.
I know that was stupid. Like, I wish I would have been there. But my point is that to me, yes, it can be used up, but I don't think that's intention. Its intention is it is truly an educational device, and it is one where people of a novice level can really relate. For example, a younger generation, to make them curious again about technology so they don't become that 44 whatever percent, which I think is a lot higher, on TikTok making stupid movies, videos. Sorry if I offended anyone.
I just wonder whose education? Is it for my education when I use it?
Hang on a sec. It's like you could say this about every single red team at all that's out there, essentially. So, because
so exactly
they
exactly.
do good with bad, don't they? Yeah, but you can't not have those tools.
No, hold on. What Zoe was saying is a true researcher should at least go to the root, right? Like, what is this board? What are these chipsets? What are these
due diligence, my friends? Due diligence.
Right, yes. And so. But what I was arguing is that it's not that. It's the entry level. And it is packaged very well. It feels really nice. Like, it is done really, really, really well. And you got, like, the way the back is, I got to show you a photo. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it online. But, like, you could just throw your little pins.
I forget what they're called. Back?
The GPO. It makes it really nice to work with for people that don't know how to solder, who don't know how to, program different chipsets with instructions and firmware. It really is done really well.
And that's cool.
It is cool. But, of course, then I have to ask, can I take it apart? I mean, does it come apart the way that it should? Like, with one tiny little plastic? It's a type of hook where if you just press down...
I know exactly which one you're hooking, you're talking about. And no, if I had to guess, there's probably...
Hold on. 3-3-2-2.
I would say there's 10. Yes. It's not that they're preventing it, but it was definitely packed in a way that it was very nicely shut, almost like if it was a cartridge.
Okay, understood to that end. The battery on it, is it cadmium iron or... And also, what is the charge... How long does it last in sleep and in what's the city mileage and what's the freeway mileage?
All good questions. I don't know these answers off the top of my head. I'd have to go to the room and grab the sheet.
But you're not like having to run back to charge it all the time.
I used it all day Sunday, where I updated the firmware, put in my payloads and things that I wanted to experiment with, did my recordings on different IR and NFC, and then was able to play with it all day. I would say a good, 9-10 hour day playing with the device.
And you had it on using
on the whole time. Yeah, I was like, kept looking at the screen. Yeah, kept going through the menus.
What is that? The not cadmium lithium ion, right? Probably,
yes.
Okay, so here's my plan. Have you ever thrown a Bic lighter at the ground as hard as you can?
Of course I have.
Okay, that's. I think I'm gonna buy it and do that.
Fuck!
Why?
Yeah, I want to know
why. It makes a good video. I mean, how funny would that be? Like, oh, I just got my flipper. Watch me unbox it carefully. Okay, now test number one.
Smash.
Smash. Yeah, I mean, yeah. All right, fine.
I'm serious. That's my plan now.
But then that would be. I hope you record it because, that would be the advanced video after I show the entry level video or like demonstration to my.
But you mark yours as 1 out of 2. Mark mine as 2 out of 2.
You can make it into an NFT.
Can we? Let's not talk about it. I do wonder, but yeah, that conversation.
Is there anything we can't make into an NFT?
In my understanding, no.
I had acute pancreatitis like 5 years ago. Can I make that into an NFT?
No, there you go. I was going to say love.
It's about like what you can put. I literally just made one yesterday, right? I had someone helping me out, but you can put like whatever you want in the metadata. According to my understanding, you know what I mean? Like a link to your Discord, link to your Twitter or whatever else, like you want, like you can put a little message in there or, it's just about how much space there is. I'm talking about an NFT now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was a throwaway joke. I'm almost certain.
I appreciate it. It doesn't have to be a picture. You know that too. Like it could be a file.
Yes, it does. It could be a picture, and it can have metadata. That's it. It can't be more.
I'm pretty sure you can do a PDF or any kind of file you can think of. You want to
do a video? File? You can do snippets, videos.
What if I can think of Matroska video file?
No, I'm just saying
in a PHP signature.
Did you say Matroska?
Yes.
Well, I'm diving into it right now, and the way that things are done on Cardano is a little bit different. But I mean, I don't have all the technical answers for you, but I'll be able to explain it to you probably 2-3 weeks. It's not that complicated.
Well, yeah, if we wait 2 or 3 weeks, and I really want to explain it, I'll explain it to myself over and over again.
Jesus. No, I don't think you can make theoretical physics. You know, there's no von Neumann
machines. I'll make an animated GIF of me throwing as hard as I can my flipper at the ground to see that it explodes. Mm-hmm. And then of that, I will make my first and only NFT, which I will value at. Can I value it at a negative?
I don't think you can do it negative.
To pay the person for minting it, right? Like, so then it would be a negative number, yeah.
That's what I want to do. I'm serious.
You'd have to set the contract up. You could totally do this.
Has anyone done this before? I'm actually stopping driving.
Okay, I'm gonna ask that question now.
Yes. Yeah, Zoe, that has happened. Well, it's happened. It, like, there are contests, right? Like, the
you know, randomly in the first 1,000 mints, you will, the one mint will win, you know, 10 Ethereum or something. And that is written into the contract. It's, I forget how they make it random, but they can do it.
That's like a so giveaway, right? Like, or is that, okay, so what if they're, you get to, when you mint or whatever, you get to decide how many copies, right? Like how many individual. So what if there are no copies or one, and that has to be one away, so I lose a certain amount on that. And so there, like what I want is a few.
It just, it can't really work that way. Like
it absolutely can. You would need to set up a wallet with whatever amount and tie that or write that into the contract, right? So that when somebody chooses to mint and with their own wallet, then that whatever funds you set up in that wallet will go directly to whoever minted it.
Can I make the price of minting a second generation such that they would be cursed as well? Like cursed NFTs, obviously.
Not only that, yeah, you can set up a royalty. So that every time it's transferred, some more money gets taken out of that same wallet and given away.
That takes money from the top. This is possible.
Oh man, I thought of one.
Call it a reverse pyramid. It would be a reverse pyramid scheme. But yeah.
Yeah, but you would have to fund it like the whole time. Like
you might be rich.
And yeah, there would be different ways to do it on different blockchains for sure. But
I was thinking of an NFT that can deteriorate after each trade.
Yeah,
it would be a salary file. That's called a salary file.
That, or you could just have a series of pictures of it deteriorating. That each time it's traded, that a new, you know, JPEG or PNG picture is generated.
So its life would essentially be a slow motion version of me throwing a flipper at the ground.
You could do it frame by frame if you wanted.
Oh, I'm recording it in 1080p at 64 frames per second.
And yeah, and then you're going to hide some weird PGP key in each frame too, aren't you?
I wouldn't call it hidden.
Well, it's hidden. It's in a way that it can't be recovered, basically. Or it can, but the amount of
work. In my salary files, every time you recover it, it changes the signature to a new PGP signature by deleting a part of the original file.
Just a part? And generating a new key?
Yes, these are all clear things. So every time that you read the last 10 lines of the file, it re-signs it with a new clear sign, taking only as much data from the binary that as is necessary to generate a new clear sign based on the current and the original signature.
How many times until it's gone?
It depends on the size of the original file, but it's not.
Right. At some point, if it's moved around enough, it's gone, right? The PGP file is gone because you're removing a part each time.
If I can add to the end of the GIF, what let's talk file formats. What can I use as a file format? Because the larger it is, then the longer
SVG?
We can literally use any SVG.
Okay. We're talking about an NFT. Yeah, any file format. It doesn't matter.
Okay. How much in bytes or any subsection thereof? How much can we add to an SVG and have it still render? You know what I mean? Still have it render as a video or image file.
Yeah,
so it's interesting. I've been exploring this. So, correct me where I'm wrong, MC. You can actually publish tons of contracts of representing replies of SVG text, right? And then either randomly or specifically call these certain files to create a new image.
Holy
on
shit.
Mint.
That file's gonna be hosted. I could run a simulation, right, that reads the PGP, which results in salary file signing, and I could predict how that's going to go over time, and then make it like an incident salary file, which doesn't even make sense.
That's above me. That, but I'd love to read more about and learn more about that.
Yeah, I don't follow either.
It's
but
at Uzumaki, it's at the Uzumaki server / CELL / salary file .mp4. If you tail the last 20 lines, you'll get binary. If you tail the last 10 lines, you get a PGP sign, and that doesn't make sense.
However, wait, what? 20 is a binary and 10 is no.
I'll post a screen grab that explains everything and put it in the nest if that's okay.
Yeah, except my head hurts more.
If your head doesn't hurt, then I'm not doing a good job of blowing up a flipper.
You're doing a good job, but it's a good hurt. I don't know. It's confusing, but the file does not matter. Like the file is just going to be your your access point to the NFT. Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
It's all about NFT. Like
I know, but there was okay. So the image is just a pointer, though. Like the NFT is the contract. It's the code, and within that code, there is a pointer, and that pointer points to whatever.
That pointer can be anything. It could be a .exe file or whatever. You know, that would be weird, but it has to be hosted somewhere. So most of it's hosted on what is it, IPFS, and there are limits to that, right? So like there are size limits, aren't there?
Or there are. This is what I want to see. So the file I'm going to post, it's and it's really up and hosted. It looks like it's an MP4, and it will render for all of you as an MP4, and it will play the contents of the MP4, but then at the very end of it is a 7-zip compressed file. And at the end of that is a PGP signature. However, anything that exists that tries to read the last 20 lines of the file will spit binary out. However, reading the last 10 lines of the last 20 lines will give you a PHP signature. You'll see. And this is called Celery file. What do we know about Celery? Like, I really am asking, is there something that comes to mind that's special about Celery?
Yeah, peanut butter and raisins.
Somebody almost out there.
Martin hates celery. With a passion.
That's it. It's something Borrego doesn't like.
What? I love celery. Oh, you never had ants on a log?
That peppery smell. Oh, it just makes me gag.
Oh, terrible. Oh, God. Oh. Maybe that's why. The thing I'm pointing at is I've heard, and I can't prove it, but it makes sense to me that like the amount of energy it takes to ingest and to digest and metabolize celery essentially gives it a negative caloric value. So if you just keep eating celery, you'll just waste away. I don't know if this is true or can be proven.
I've heard this with cucumbers as well.
You won't just waste away. It's got 90% water in it, and apparently it burns more calories. But yeah, medical. You know, chemistry is a little more complex than just shit like that.
Right, but like a glass of ice water does the same thing, right? Like, because your body has to cool down has to warm up the ice water you're drinking, and that burns calories. So, like, there's no calories.
Well, I was going to say, isn't it funny how
warm water, right? I've heard that before. You know what I mean? But you, in the desert, don't drink ice water. You should drink warm water for that reason. Warming it up is going to kind of kill you.
It's better to drink room temperature water.
Welcome.
I like room temperature water.
Cool. Like room
temperature. I like cold water and celery.
Did you want to say something specific about this?
Yes, I wanted to ask you guys something. I just came in and I heard you talking about